Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from the Valley of the Sun.
Today is Jack Thursday, and I'm going to talk to you about how to calculate your cash on cash return on a given land deal.
Isn't it just like you buy it for 10, you sell it for 30, or is there more to it than that?
There's a little more to it than that, but that's the basic.
Okay, cool.
And so, well,
just making sure I'm not missing anything.
You buy for 10, you sell for 20. What's your cash return?
100%.
Right. You've been hanging around me too long. Buy for 10, sell for 30. What's your return?
Even better.
It's 200%. If you buy
till numbers.
If you buy for 10, and this is it.
Keep going.
This is a giveaway. If you buy for 10, you use deal funding. You sell for 20, you get $5,000 back. What's your cash on cash return?
50%.
You can't calculate it.
Why?
Because you didn't put any money in.
Oh.
So you want an infinite cash on cash return.
Okay. Well, there's the show, everyone.
That's not all.
Okay.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. And don't forget to subscribe on the Land Academy YouTube channel and comment on the shows you like. It's very interesting that whenever these shows are about numbers and technical stuff, Jill jokes around.
Victor wrote, I know. Good morning, everybody. I have spent many days researching individual counties, days on market, and price by zip code, and have sent two mailers for the first time yesterday. I have three other counties that I want to send to that are going to average $2,500 an acre on the buy side, but I'm worried that if I don't get accepted offers back, I won't have money. Meaning that since
I'm worried
I'm new,
that if I do get accepted offers
oh,
back.
Oh, Suzu, do. Sorry, I won't have
I won't
the money.
Won't have the cash.
Yeah. Meaning that since I'm new, I feel like funding partners would not be interested. Any thoughts? Well, that's not true. You know, I just had a conversation with somebody about this.
Go ahead, Jill.
We have someone that we have done a handful of deals with, and she wrote me a book of questions the other day, which I'm still responding to. I hope by this time I've hit the reply button. But anyway, she's like, "Do you have a bottom? Is there a bottom here that you're willing to work with?" And I'm like, you know, the deal stands for itself. The deal should stand up for itself. So it's, so I guess the answer is yes and no. So don't be afraid.
I can answer that. Go. I mean, because I come from in some capacity, I've been involved in acquisitions since the minute I got out of college. I don't know why. It's just that career chose me. And I will tell you, throughout my career, it has shocked me that every single person has a different acquisition criteria. So everybody wants to make money. Let's start there. Some people love cash flow. They love to buy property and sell on notes. So that type of acquisition is different for them. It's drive right up to it, potentially use it right away. And because they know they can sell it really quickly, they'll pay a little bit more for it to have those amenities or attributes. You know, in the long-term care business, there was a certain bed number for each facility that you love to buy, which was 120, with a certain number of nursing stations so staffing can work. Other people just wanted pure location, and they could just work with that because they knew the facility was always going to be full. And it's no different in the land business. So over and over and over again, this is why we're developing this landfunding.com situation. Mm-hmm. I know that every reasonably good deal that comes in will get funded.
Mm-hmm.
I know that because everybody's got a different criteria.
Yeah,
our criterias are different, Jill and I. Mm-hmm. There's properties that I will buy that she won't buy, and I go do. Mm-hmm. I buy them and resell them, mm-hmm. and vice versa. So it's all different. That endlessly people are saying, that's not too, you know, for a while Jill and I were saying the deal's too small. Mm-hmm. We need to make 10 grand on this,
right.
on our side.
Right.
That's just not the case. There are people coming out of the woodwork saying, I'd happily spend $3,000 to make
$3,000. Exactly.
Today's topic, it's Jack Thursday. How do you calculate your cash return on a land deal? This is why you're listening. in a world of internal rate of return, IRR, current ratios, long-term ratios, long-term debt, there's a ton of ratios and ways that you can analyze an investment. I don't mean a land investment, I mean an investment. So you might be buying stock in the stock market. You want to see how your stock's going to do over time. You might be buying a convenience store or a chain of convenience stores or a auto dealership or a manufacturing plant. There's a set of generally accepted accounting principles, GAAP, it's called, G-A-A-P, where these ratios or these, somebody standardized the way you look at money investment. I don't think that necessarily applies here to us small investors because we're very cash driven. We need to have enough cash to stay afloat. We don't advocate ever borrowing money, even tertiary borrowing money, like unsecured money with credit cards and stuff. I don't advocate any of that. My answer to all of that is to just concentrate on getting mail out and getting good deals. So why is that? So how does that fall into, let's say I'm super technical and I have a finance background, what's my return going to be? Or I'm not going to start down this path. So I'm not here to sell you anything today. I'm just telling you how I think about it and why we've put land funding in place. All you need to look at is your cash return, your cash on cash return. I put $5 on the blackjack table. I win. I collect $10 back. I made 100% return on my money. It's over, said, and done. My cash on cash return was 100%.
Wait. Is your whole point today people are overthinking it?
Yes.
Got it.
I see this all in Discord all the time, and I see it. And I think a lot of it's largely because there's a very, very small segment of people in this group, very small, less than five people, that love to show everyone else in this group, especially new people and especially me, how freaking smart they are. Oh. This is Jack Thursday, so I can say this stuff.
Yeah, the real brainy ones.
Don't fall for
dig
it.
Dig in there and like, did you do this? Do you know that? What's exact this? Did you just subtract that? Who flipping cares?
Exactly,
I doubled my
Jill.
Money.
Exactly.
Even if I don't double my money, I would just like to add this too, because this used to be a problem for a while. People would say, oh, I screwed up. I messed up that deal. Like, well, how much did you make? Shoot, well, I bought it for $10,000. I sold it for $16,000. Like, how is that a fail? I'm like, you made $6,000. They're like, yeah, but I didn't double my money. I'm like, so what? You made $6,000. That's how I see it too, by the way. Don't get technical. Don't get hung up on it. Are you moving forward? Are you getting deals? That's it. And for a lot of people, that's enough. If you buy for 10 and sell for 16,000 all day long, there's nothing wrong with that.
And that's she's right. And that's very land specific and very land specific to what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what happens with bigger companies. I'm going to use a grocery store for an example because everybody knows what that is. Grocery stores live and die by net income or net operating income, depending on how you look at it. If they generate $10 million in sales and they generate $100,000 of net income or net operating income, that's a 10% margin. If they generate $30,000, which is a lot more likely on that million, that's 3%. We don't care about that.
Right.
I can look at our revenue. Our revenue is staggering. Mm-hmm. Our revenue is tens of millions of dollars a year. And what our net operating income is would be staggering against, I can line it up against any other business model and it's going to really perform. But let's take two or three steps back. How is that grocery store, that grocery store chain capitalized? Oh, well, we had to raise some capital over here. We put some of our own money over here. We hired the CEO. We had to spend $20,000 or $30,000 for lease deposits and inventory and shrinkage and all of this other stuff. So when you look at the cash on cash return for a grocery store or any most of businesses, it's atrocious. It's absolutely atrocious. So you have to capitalize it properly and utilize debt. And then now when you have debt, there's all different types of ratios to analyze it. We don't care about any of that. And if you line this land business up against any of that, that your jaw is going to be on the desk about how well it performs. We have had 55% gross margins since the minute I started this in the early 90s, meaning for every $100,000 of sales we have, we keep $50,000 to $60,000. By anybody's measure, that's just crazy to the point where it's absurd. Like, I don't look at it anymore. what I care about and what you should care about is how much money you put in, not for mail or education or any of that. How much money are you going to buy this property for, and how much money are you going to get back, and how fast is that going to happen? What's your cash on cash return? If you're fanatical, like I used to be for decades, I'm only going to use my money, and I'm going to get that return. I'm going to live with it. And that was a bad decision. When I met Jill, we came off of that, and she's right. Now, fast forward to 2021, where you're in this Land Academy group where you don't have to come up with any money. Your cash on cash return can't be calculated in a good way, not a bad way.
Right.
It's thousands and thousands and thousands of percent. Mm-hmm. You pay for the education once. You pay for the mailer as you go. That's really your own expense. Mm-hmm. And what's your return? If you use landfunding.com or whatever else, however else you get funded, wouldn't you rather just do 50 deals where you didn't never put a dollar in and you made 50% on it versus like six deals where you made 100%? And you actually have to go through the hassle of calculating your cash on cash return? Mm-hmm. Then there's risk. How much risk are you averting? If you did the first three deals you funded yourself and they were terrible deals because you're brand new, you're done.
I'm letting you go.
Cash on cash return.
That was awesome. Thank you very much.
So please calculate that and forget about the rest of it.
I'm just a little foggy. So
I know. I understand.
Thank you.
I understand, Jill.
Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow is Jill Friday. Stop walking away from good deals. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Yeah, we talk a lot about people trying to dig in and make a deal when it's a bad property. Like they're just scrambling to find something, you know, because their mailer, this is all they have to work with, and they're trying to just, you know, ignore red flags. But then I also see the other extreme, which I'm going to talk about tomorrow, is a lot of people that just give up too soon. I'm like, hold on a moment. We need to talk about this. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we appreciate your support. If you haven't already, check out our YouTube channel, and please hit that subscribe button. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.